Hello and welcome to the Proceed podcast, the podcast where we dive into the world of SAP data management. I'm your host, Rebecca, and today I'm joined yet again by our managing director, Robert Rubin, to kick off this new podcast series. It's Earth Day today, so we're starting the series with a sustainability-themed episode where we're going to be talking about green IT and how Proceed is helping customers make a dent in their carbon footprint with proper data management. Okay, so let's get started.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, hi, Becky. Really pleased to be here. Thank you.
So as it's Earth Day today, we thought we'd talk a little bit about sustainability and green IT and what we can do to help customers. But first, what are your thoughts on sustainability in general?
Well, I am quite an enthusiast for sustainability. Over the years, I've been the one in the house going around, turning down the heating, making sure we put the rubbish in the right bins. But at work, I've been pleased since I've been at Proceed that we've been able to start to focus more and more on what sustainability means for our customers. And we're seeing, you know, so much more focus on it across the industry. And we're getting more and more customers asking us about the topic. So, you know, today on Earth Day, I'm really pleased we can have this conversation and talk about it.
Agreed. So what are some of the trends that you're seeing in the industry at the moment that are kind of alarming to you?
Well, it's interesting because over the years, you know, we've focused so much on the growing power of IT, you know, how much more we can do with the fantastic technology. But over recent years, there's been, you know, increasing focus on how much energy is being used, how much space is being used, how much water for cooling is being used. You know, there were stats several years ago that data centers were using 200 terawatt hours, which was about less than 1% of electricity. And now, more recently, data centers are being estimated to use 3% of electricity across the UK and the EU. So it's a massive increase. So whilst we're all getting the fantastic benefits, both in business, you know, and in our personal lives, as we stream everything these days, you know, music and everything we watch on TV, there is a cost to that and a price to pay in terms of the impact on the planet. So I think there's now increasing recognition of that and increasing efforts to do something about it now. So I'm pleased to see that, but also trying to make sure we're keeping a focus on what we can help our customers do. And I think there's a few areas where we can make a start.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's jump right into that then. So from Proceed Group's point of view, where do we fit into that conversation?
Well, if I think about it, actually what the company's been doing for over 20 years is helping organizations reduce their data footprint. Okay. So even initially when we were doing archiving projects, which were really focused on organizations that had lots of systems in a data center, that was still reducing the amount of data and maybe able to avoid them buying new hardware for a year or two and keeping that footprint down. But really now, as we're seeing lots and lots of organizations have much, much larger systems, the savings being much more significant. And as they move to new technology, like they're moving, many of the people we're working with are moving to the cloud, then rather than taking all the data with them, they're taking a much smaller amount and needing less data to be stored in that cloud system. So, for example, we did a great archiving project for Croda a couple of years ago, and they were able to reduce their system from over 3.5 terabytes down to just about 0.5 terabytes. That's an 80% reduction. So if you are migrating your systems to your favorite hyperscaler in the cloud, and you're able to use 80% less hardware, then eventually that adds up to them needing to buy less hardware, and there's a smaller impact on the planet. So now I think archiving in itself has always had quite a strong benefit in terms of being able to keep the footprint down. And actually what we're finding is that when we work with organizations, there's quite a more structured story to that. So there's a number of things that companies can do. And we typically talk to them about what's their data strategy, what data do they need to keep? Okay, so I think historically everybody was, for many years, was looking at the value of data and keeping as much as they could and keeping everything, because you might want to mine it for some useful business information. But I think really GDPR started the conversation about personal data and not keeping everything for the sake of it. And I think now there's a bit more of an overall focus on what data is actually valuable for the business, you know, what needs to be kept, what doesn't need to be kept. So if you don't need to keep certain data, that's the easiest starting point, you know, financial data over 7 years old, for example, then, you know, you can take that data out of your system, again, reduce the data footprint. So eventually that's going to translate to needing less storage. And there's other technologies that SAP have implemented now. So, you know, in some of the newer systems like S4, and in fact, we've had it for a while in HANA, things like the native storage extensions, again, help reduce the amount of storage that's required. And also not just in ERP systems like ECC and S4, but in all of the BW systems where, again, you can get some really enormous systems like tens of terabytes in some cases. There's quite a few techniques now for reducing the data footprint. So, you know, we've done lots of projects over many years with nearline storage, which is a great, very simple technology that works really well. And it's got great compression and really reduces the footprint. But there's also data tiering in both in BW systems and S4, which can also, you know, help reduce the data footprint overall. So there's a variety of different technologies and techniques that can be used, which bring that data footprint right down. And again, that's just reducing in the end the amount of memory, the amount of storage that's needed.
I see. Great. Thank you. And you talked a little bit about S/4HANA. That's a hot topic at the moment. Lots of companies are either in the process of moving or they're planning to, they're starting their plan. And so there are inevitably going to be legacy systems that are kind of left behind. And we know that businesses tend to accumulate those too. They've got, they tend to have like a large landscape of legacy systems. So can you talk a bit about the impact that that would have as well on sustainability and perhaps what Proceed are doing to support customers in that space?
Yeah, happy to. This is a really interesting one because we talk to organizations who've got sets of legacy systems and are wondering what they can do with them. And it really ranges from, you know, on the one extreme, someone who's doing a migration to S4, maybe they're doing a greenfield migration and they know they're going to have one ECC system left behind. And then what are the options with that system? But other organizations have grown by acquiring other businesses. And over the years, you know, we've seen organizations that have got many, many different systems. So lots of ERP systems that are still being used and are about to be phased out as they do a global migration to S4. And it can be 20 or 40 or, you know, hundreds in some of the cases of the very largest organizations. So there's many, many different legacy systems out there. And in some cases, they've moved onto some newer technologies, but quite a lot of them are very old. So sometimes we speak to organizations that are, you know, quite worried about turning them on because they're not sure they're going to work. And they're built on 20-year-old technology. And, you know, I've worked in the hardware business in the past and you know, there's, you know, Moore's law and the basic evolution of hardware means that each new system that comes out is typically that bit faster, needs less space, needs less energy and power than the previous generations. So when you're running something that's 20 years old, then there's really dramatic reductions now in the same amount of compute power that's needed to be able to, you know, run that same application. So instead of something that was, you know, racks and racks of servers in the past, can typically be done on one quite small server now. So as the kind of the technology evolves, then you can get away from some of these older systems and being able to decommission them. You're getting away from some systems that are very, very energy inefficient onto something that's much more modern. So there's that kind of trend, but also there's examples that you're reading in SAP's recent customer success awards. One of the finalists was Fife's. That case was all about how they moved onto, they consolidated all of their systems onto one sustainable platform. And again, that's what we're seeing now. So as organizations are moving to S4, they're getting away from all of these legacy systems. As I said earlier, they're often on quite very old, inefficient technology, and moving everything onto something that's modern, current, and consolidated. So as they move away from potentially hundreds of legacy systems on really old technology onto a single global S4, probably in the cloud, probably in SAP's RISE these days, then they're moving everything onto a much, much more efficient, low-cost, low-energy footprint. And I think, you know, quite often with this kind of legacy system decommissioning program, organizations can get an even bigger bang for their buck and a bigger energy saving than with an archiving project. So I think it's something that's really, really worth thinking about, because many organizations we talk to haven't really understood the benefits or known how to go about getting rid of legacy systems. And the benefits are very substantial in terms of sustainability.
Yeah, I agree. It seems to be quite a compelling story and not one that people often don't make that link, do they? I mean, there's those obvious benefits of reducing cost and risk, but I think the sustainability angle is often left off the table, isn't it? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. As we talked about last time, not only am I a big fan of podcasts, I'm really pleased we're doing this second series.
Yes, me too. And there's a new episode every 2 weeks, so look out for that. But on this particular episode, if you want to find out more about what we discussed today, you can visit our website, proceedgroup.com. There's a number of resources on there, but also a number of case studies as well. And you can find out more about our free assessment, which kind of gets customers started on the journey. It will give you an idea of where you are now, but also in terms of the return on investment of one of these projects as well. And the project as a whole. So understanding, you know, how long the project will take, an idea on costing. So it's a good place to start. And if you want to contact us directly or speak to one of our experts, you can reach us at info@proceedgroup.com. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time.